This morning, if the Lord would bless me, I'd like to talk to you about something that's found. There's a couple of several verses. Actually, probably spend all day going through them. But Proverbs, even though I read Proverbs this morning. So I always encourage you to read a proverb a day. Read today's chapter for the fifth. So I always read chapter five. But I'd like to read in Psalms, in the 40th chapter, a couple of verses. It says in the 40th chapter of Psalms, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Now the beauty of the Lord is that when we patiently for him, he says he heard our cry. So if you wait patiently for the Lord, he will hear that cry. But it doesn't stop at the first verse. It goes on. It goes on. It says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. But guess what? It doesn't stop there. There's a conjunction in the next verse. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. As we think about this today, as we think about waiting, you know, sometimes we have to, in the world in which we live in, we're not very good at waiting. Now, we go to a doctor and you can have a 10:30 appointment. And you might get called back soon. You might, it may be an hour. I've waited 2 hours before. And you know, when you get called back, you go, well, I've been called. I'm ready now. No, you're going into a smaller room to wait, right? You're going to a smaller room to wait. And then you have to get x-rays. You may have to get an MRI. You may have to have a test run. And you know, you can spend an entire morning or afternoon, or in some cases a day, at a doctor's office, can't you? Sure you can. And you want to talk about waiting, that's a prime example of waiting, because you have no control whatsoever. There's other examples we talk about. If you ever travel, I travel a lot, and I have an app that lets me know when to get off the interstate and when to make another turn, because people have reported ahead there's a backup in on a road or interstate. How many times have you ever flown? I don't do as much flying as I used to, but when I fly, you know, there's always a delay. I'll never forget one time I was traveling overseas with students and we got to Newark, New Jersey, and you know, I'm a big jokester anyway, and we got up there ready to board and I looked and it said the flight had been canceled. And I said, well, we got a problem. The flight's been canceled. Oh yeah, sure, right. You're joking with us. No, the flight had been canceled. And so we had to go to a different airport and you know, go on out and fly out a different way and things like that. One time we were waiting so long to hover, we were hovering over one New York airport. We had to land at another airport to get fuel to go back up and hover again and wait to land. So there's waiting in everything we do, right? I mean, everything we do, we have to wait. Now, as you think about that, though, a lot of times that's something that we're just not good at. Now, with me, I can wait all day long. But if it's one of my children, that's when it's like, okay, hurry up, right? Let's chop chop. You know, it's one thing if it's you, but if it's another thing if it's your baby. If it's your baby, if that little daughter or granddaughter is hurting, you want action right there and then. Right there and then. But, you know, it's amazing if we look at the Bible, there's so many examples about how people in the Bible, so don't go bad, there's so many examples in the Bible that, guess what? They didn't want to wait. They just did not want to wait. Now, we go to the very beginning in Genesis. They were given everything they wanted. Now, I don't know about you, that sounds like a pretty good gig. Pretty good gig. And the only thing they couldn't do was that one particular fruit. And you know, think about it. How long afterwards, he said, the day thou shalt eat, thou shalt surely die. Those were little shalls or shouts. Because when God gives you a shall or shout, guess what? It's going to happen. It's just going to happen. Now, in this particular case, they partook of it. And again, they partook of it because it looked good. And you know, there's a statement right beside you going, oh, thou shalt not surely die. Well, Adam did die. Now, he lived a long time. I think it was 930 years. But at the same time, it just said, in the day thou shalt eat of, thou shalt surely die. And we don't know how long that is. The oldest person in the Bible that's recorded is Methuselah, and that was at 969 years, right? So he could have lived longer. We don't know. We don't know. But we do know that if God told us it's going to happen, it will happen. But just let you know that sometimes you just can't wait. Now, growing up, you know, we're getting close to Christmas, and we had gifts, and then Santa came. You know, I never, ever tried to unwrap things, you know, if I knew where they were. But my sister, she would go, you know what you got? I don't want to know. Because my birthday's in December and Christmas in December. You got a birthday in June. You got something halfway. This is all I got. I got one wad, that's it. So, no, I don't want to know. And she's like, well, I know where they're at. Well, I've opened up mine. You may open up yours. She couldn't wait. She couldn't wait. And that's the way we are so many times in our lives. So many times in our lives. But there's other examples in the Bible that they just couldn't wait. And one, and again, God is so rich and so merciful, and yet we just seem to turn our backs on Him all the time. We can't wait. You know, you have this, you know, He didn't say you would live forever, but it just said when the day thou shalt surely die, well, they took a bite of it. That's also because it said you'd be as gods. That's a little tempting in itself. But nevertheless, that's the case. But, you know, here is God told Abram and Sarah that you're going to have a mighty nation. A mighty nation. And guess what they decided to do? Well, you're old and I'm barren. Go into my handmaid. Again, if God, here's the beauty of our Savior and our Lord, is if He tells us something, guess what? It's going to happen. But so many times in our life, we want to mess with it. We want to see if we can fix it a little bit better, right? Well, we know what happens is that Sarah at the time, tells Abram, who later becomes Abraham, tells him to go into her handmaiden. And out comes Ishmael. And guess what? What did the Lord tell Hagar that what would happen? That he'd be a wild man, right? And guess what? We're dealing with the descendants of Ishmael today. Today. Because of what man, what, you know, they wouldn't wait on God. They wouldn't wait on the Lord. The Lord said, you know, you're going to have your seed will multiply. We don't know how it's going to work. We don't know when it's going to work. And I'm sure Sarah, she was 90 when she actually had her son, Isaac. But you know what? If God tells you it will happen, guess what, brothers and sisters? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But so many times, we want to take care of ourselves. So many times, well, the Lord told us that. Well, I'm going to make sure it happens. Guess what? If it's going to happen, it's not only going to happen, but if you let God take care of it, it's going to happen perfectly. It's going to happen the way it should happen. But guess what? There's other examples. We'll go to another example. It's another example that happened that you just sometimes you go, really? And this is found over in Exodus. Now, not only did the children of Israel were blessed to see their travesty all taken care of with the Red Sea, but then they began to be out. And after they were in the wilderness, and after Moses was called up to the mount, he tarried. Now, think about this. Have you ever looked a gift horse in the mouth? Somebody has helped you to something and gone above and beyond, and then all of a sudden when something, you know, it's time for you to maybe wait or help them a little bit, you don't know who they are. Now, I'm sure Brother Aaron might can understand this as a teacher and coach. How many people, players you've helped, and sometimes they kind of turn the other way. We got a principal, administrator. How many times have you given people, recommended having jobs, and then when you go to shake their hand, they kind of turn and they forget you? And don't get me started about being a superintendent. Oh, how nice they are to you until you're not superintendent anymore, and they're going to go, and your name is? Just human nature. But I won't take the time, but you take the time and you read all the things that led up, all the pain, all the suffering, all the agony that led up to what the children of Israel experienced. And then they saw their, he said, stand still and see thy salvation. And they saw it right there and then. The aggressor, the punisher, the one that had given them trouble time and time again for hundreds of years. And they saw it taken care of. And then guess what? Moses tarried. And they didn't know what to do. And in the 32nd chapter of Exodus, it says, and the people saw Moses delayed to come down the mount. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For it's just Moses, this man brought us out of the land of Egypt. We wot not as because of become of him. So, now that's layman terms for what have you done for me lately? Okay, that's layman terms for what have you done for me lately? We don't know where he's at. Yeah, he's done a lot for us, but it's time to move on, right? Let's go. And of course, you take the time. And Aaron said to them, bring off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters and bring them to me. And all the people broke off the golden earrings which are in their ears and brought them to Aaron. He received them at the hand and fashioned it with a graven tool, and he made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O earth, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar and said, made the proclamation, tomorrow's a feast unto the Lord. And then they rose up early and they did burnt offerings. Now, they didn't wait. They didn't wait on Moses. Well, guess what? Moses comes down. Now, this reminds me so much of children. How did that get broken? I don't know. Well, how did this happen? I don't know. You might be looking at your spouse sometimes. Well, I don't know how it happened. Well, it did. But this is what he said. He goes, and Moses said unto Aaron, and this is in the further on, the 33rd chapter. And Moses said unto Aaron, why did this people unto thee that hath brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people. They are set on mischief. We write about that. For they said unto thee, make us gods which shall go before us. And for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what's become of him. And I said unto him, whosoever has any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it to me, they cast it in the fire, and there came out this calf. Lo and behold, it just happened, right? I don't know how it happened, right? I don't know how it did that. Now, I'm going to be something to be funny here. Is I've seen people and been around people working in the private sector. I'm not a drinker, and of course, the scripture says not given to too much wine, but I've been around people and I've heard things that the last thing they said, well, the last thing they did before they had an accident, or the last thing they did before they did something dumb was hold my beer or hold my drink. And then after that, they go and do something really dumb and hurt themselves. Well, it's kind of the same way here, if you think about it. It's like, you know, everybody that partook of that, you know, and you can go take the time for that, they died. They died. So it lets us know that, you see, how it's not hard in one way, easy to say, sometimes hard to do, that we need to be patient, we need to wait on the Lord. We need to wait on the Lord. Now, these are Old Testament examples. Let's go over to the New Testament. And a verse or two. In the Matthew, it comes to pass, you know, John the Baptist saw all the things that was happening, and he was waiting, of course, he was waiting to be killed. And he even had doubts. He even asked the Lord, you know, are thou the Christ? Shall we wait for another? And Christ said, go and tell John these things again. And he had to be reminded. Sometimes we have to be reminded to wait. Sometimes we have to be reminded to wait. And then let's go over to, there's several examples, but we go to Mark in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, and they came to a place which was called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit ye here while I pray, while I shall pray. And he taketh Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. and said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but what will thou will be done. Thou wilt. And he come and findeth them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, Sleepest now? Could thou have not watched 1 hour? Watch ye here and pray, lest ye enter temptation. The spirit is truly ready, but the flesh is weak. You know, here's someone that they have seen. They've been called out of their profession. They have been blessed to see miracle after miracle after miracle. Amazing feat after amazing feat after amazing feat. And he asked them to watch and pray. And they couldn't pray for 1 hour. They fell asleep. Fell asleep. Now think. What a wonderful example to see their Savior Jesus Christ. And we have a wonderful example here where we, when we pray, we should pray that way. Lord, if it be thy will, but not my will, but thine be done. But so many times in our life, we want to take care of it, right? We want to take advantage of it. Well, let me give you some good examples. There's some wonderful examples. Here's an example, Joseph. A wonderful example about waiting on the Lord. Time and time again, Joseph had travesty in his life. Time and time again, he had things that people said about him that weren't true. He was put in prison. He was not only put in, he was accused of something he didn't do, put in prison, performed wonderful miracles, and then what? They forgot about him. And then he gets taken care of. He takes care of the Pharaoh. And he prophesies what's going to happen. And then he has the 7 years of feast. And then he sees 7 years of famine. Now think about this. Even though you've been blessed, he was still human. Now, those 7 years, what? They stored up. They stored up. But he had to have that faith and wait on the Lord. Because he knew what was coming. And then he had those 7 years of famine. And the same people that sold him into prison, he had the opportunity to witness before them. But what did he do? He waited on the Lord. He waited on the Lord. What about that old widow? The widow that was going to eat that one cake. And then her and her son were going to eat and starve to death and die. And the prophet said, Make me one first. She waited on the Lord. She waited on the Lord. And she was blessed to have food up until it rained again. What about Nehemiah? Nehemiah. Now think about this. Nehemiah, when he heard of the travesty that had befallen upon Jerusalem, he just didn't jump up and go about his way. He what? He prayed and he waited. And not only did he pray and wait, he also did what? He planned. He planned for every step of the way while he waited on the Lord. And then when he had an opportunity in front of the king, what did he do? He went forward. He went forward. And the king asked him, Well, why is that counting sad? What can I do to help? And he planned up everything along the way. It's amazing when we wait upon the Lord. Now, let's talk about some real life examples. We've already mentioned some. You know, sometimes we have situations that arise, and one is an example in the church. You're trying to deal with calling a pastor, and you need to fervently pray. And as the scripture says, pray without ceasing that the Lord will bless you in that direction. So that's one example you're dealing with right here, right now. There was an example a few years ago that several years ago my grandfather had come across. We had taken in a brother that was an elder, and he had joined the church, and somebody had said, "Oh, well, the church that y'all took him in had some problems," and he prayed about it, he's worried about it. And he said, Well, should I go over there? And he said, I said, Well, I don't know, Grandpa, what should you do? And he said, I need to pray. Can you keep on praying about it? Well, lo and behold, We had a meeting, and you know, every one of the deacons from that church happened to be at that meeting that night. Every one of them. He had an opportunity to talk to him. They said, "No, we're not upset at all. We're happy that the brother is here at this church. He didn't do anything wrong. He just wanted to go a different direction." And not only did he get peace about it, he waited on the Lord. And the Lord took care of everything. Everything. We have situations in our life, don't we? That don't go our way sometimes. Situations in our life that happen and you go, "Well, why is this happening to me? What have I done?" Well, it may be nothing that you've done. But it may be that the Lord is leading you in a particular direction. So the very first thing you need to do, obviously, is wait. But while you wait, you sure do need to pray. Because when we pray, that's our way to communicate with God. And then he will let you know, not necessarily audibly, but there's been times that I feel led to go and do something, and I'm glad I did. Because not only was I blessed, I was richly blessed. Now, if you think about it, you know, we got the perfect example, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the perfect example. Time and time again, and one that I love is the story of Lazarus. Now, you think about that. He could have gone over to Lazarus anytime he wanted to. In one scripture, it says he even tarried a few days. And when they came to him, he said, you know, was it Mary said, "Well, Lord, if thou had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died." And even at one time, he said, "Well, Lazarus sleepeth." And then finally, he was playing with it. "Lazarus is dead." But they thought that he had waited too long. But aren't you glad with God? All things are possible. Because what did he do? He said, "Roll back the stone." And then he said, "What? Lazarus, come forth." He didn't say to everybody, because if he'd said, "Y'all all come forth," every one of them would have come forth. And even the sister said, "But Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He stinketh." "Lazarus, come forth." And he came forth. So it lets us know, brothers and sisters, that no matter what the situation, no matter what the condition, no matter what happens, you know, the Lord will provide. Now, guess what? As I say, life's not fair. As I tell my kids that, life's not fair. Things happen. And they may not walk out the way we want them to, but they work out the way God hasn't had a plan for. But we have to wait. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've dealt with situations in my life, with work, for example. I used to work with a lot of women in the central office, and this is not when I was superintendent, it's former superintendent, and they come to me with a problem and everything. Well, I immediately started trying to fix it. Well, I found out that they didn't really want me to fix it. Because if I fixed it, it wouldn't have been that way they wanted it. They wanted me to listen to them. And I'd sit back. And then if they came back to me again, then I'd try to help them. Same way with my wife. A lot of times, you know, she'll present issues or problems that we have at home or with kids or whatever the case may be. And sometimes I just listen. And then sometimes I act after I feel like I prayed and waited my time. Now, with small children, sometimes you can't wait. I know some parents want to wait if their child acts up in Walmart. No, I'm just going to beat them then. I'm going to spank them right there in front of God and everybody because they're not going to act a certain way. As I said before, there's two types of people you never negotiate with, children or terrorists. You don't negotiate with them. You take care of it right there and then. But how many times as a principal and a brother's principal, how many times you've been sent a child and you give them the proper punishment and the teacher come back and go, "Well, I didn't mean for you to do that." Feels sound familiar? And guess what? While it's in your classroom, it's your classroom. When it comes to me, it's mine. Okay? I've assumed you've done your proper waiting and taking care of those issues. But we have parents today, brothers and sisters. We have parents today. You remember, if you have children, remember when they were growing, especially when they were learning to walk? Remember that? And you were so worried that they might bump or fall down. Well, growing up, by the time we got there, you know, when my mom had children, you know, we had the actual cloth diapers. Even if they were coming out with Pampers, we couldn't afford them. So, but as the Pampers came along, guess what? They got padding. They fall down and not hurt themselves, right? They don't hurt their backside, right? But we have so many people today, brothers and sisters, that growing up, as I was coming through, we had a lot of people called helicopter parents, where they'd hover over their children, make sure they won't fall. And then nowadays we got lawnmower parents. They're mowing in front, making the path smooth for them. And see, we as parents sometimes, this is our parents, sometimes what? We had to wait. There's times when my children have made decisions that I knew it wasn't the right thing to do. But I prayed to God and said, Lord, what shall I do? And you know what I felt He was leading me to do? Was to wait. Now, why would I do that? Why would I not intervene? Why wouldn't I take care of that situation? Because sometimes we have to fall. Sometimes we have to fail. Sometimes in life we do fail. Sometimes it's not always rosy, brothers and sisters. Sometimes we don't get the job we want. Sometimes we don't get the person we want. Sometimes we don't get the things we want. But guess what? If we wait, it's going to work out. And sometimes we have to let them fall. And sometimes when we turn away from God, as example of Peter, you quit looking at Jesus, guess what happens? You begin to sink. But when we're with Him, He watches over us. Now, you know, as Brother Brady talked about the tree, you know, there's a scripture that did a funeral this week, and I want to have a graveside service. I always turn to this. It's found over in 1 Thessalonians, and it's beginning in the 13th verse of the 4th chapter. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that you which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And at the end of that verse says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." We have to wait patiently on the Lord. He's coming again. Now, He's not going to be on this earth. Because it said, "Those that are alive remain, we shall be together with Him and to meet Him in the clouds." He's coming back. We need to wait. We need to wait. Now, if He comes back while we're here, what a sight to see, brothers and sisters. All those graves like that, all those bodies coming forward, what a sight. Wouldn't it? That's something to wait for, brothers and sisters. But guess what? If we're past and gone, that's okay too. That's okay too. Why? Because our spirit's already with Him. Our spirit is already there, brothers and sisters. We're perfect in every way. And it's amazing when we wait on Him how perfectly things have tend to work out. There's a verse I'll close with. It's a very familiar verse. It's found over in, actually, in Isaiah, in the 4th chapter and the 31st verse. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." As we wait on the Lord, He'll take care of it all. Just as that brother said, "Lord and I, we did it all. I did the sinning, and He did the same." May the Lord richly bless you and keep you, my brother.